So, welcome to November 3rd, Tuesday, Live with Linda. Well, it's a day for prayers. And I wanted to begin by reading something from Liz Thompson, because she can't be with us today. If you remember, she's told us about her work in a London hospital. And this is what she just wrote for us. I'm so sad and sorry not to make tonight's class. I love our time together and will miss seeing everyone. I'm naturally thinking of you all and sending bundles of heart hugs. I just wanted to share a lovely T-Touch experience last week. I was on Zoom with a pediatric or oncology nurse waiting for our patients and parents to join. The lovely nurse is 19 weeks pregnant and was just about to take a Rennie tablet, as she felt extremely acidy and felt like she wanted to be sick. The nurse knows me well, so I gently asked if she would be up to try some T-Touch heart hugs around her diaphragm and solar plexus, or diaphragm and solar plexus hugs in this case. I explained that I had no idea if it would help, but it was worth a try. Within seconds, yes, seconds, her face softened, her color improved, and she did a big yawn hurrah. She was amazed and smiling from ear to ear. She reported that not only had her acid gone and she didn't feel like throwing up, but she said she felt great, the best she'd felt in days. She was smiling and very relaxed and felt very empowered in her own ability to help herself. Thank you. T-Touch rocks. So I thought you would all enjoy that. And I just have to get back to you. Where are you? Okay, here we are. Yep, back on my screen here. Yes, so this opportunity to share, and Nick, welcome, but I'm going to just do what we normally do here a little bit before addressing something with you. When do you have to leave, Nick?
Like 2:45.
Oh, okay, great. So, I see some more faces joining us. Hi. Marjane, Anna, Yona, I love this. It's just, I feel so good when I see all of you that we get to share this opportunity each week. I want to share a couple of things that have happened to me in the last week. Holy mackerel. I mean, the fall that I took, slamming this elbow onto the pool, seems to have activated something. And when I wake up in the morning, this hand, this finger, is so stiff that I can't bend it. I can't close it. And so I started doing T-Touch on it, but in a more precise than I've ever done. And what I wanted to share with you, and I'd like any of you who've had a similar experience to, wait a minute, I'm gonna get a better view, to be able to try this. So there was a lot of like real stiffness. If I attempted to close it, it was really hurt. I couldn't. And so I started doing T-Touch, and I was touching with my thumb right here, and my forefinger was on the other side. And I tried to do it to see what would happen if I just did my thumb without the opposing, you know, the connecting fingers on the other side, and it wasn't anything. So what I started doing was the tiniest touches with my thumb, the pad of my thumb. And I did it as hard as I could. I mean, it hurt anyway, but I really wanted to see what can I do. And that's important because if you have joint pain and you don't go to that level of pain where it actually hurts and do a couple of T-touches, It won't work, is my experience. So I did two or three, like with a six or seven pressure, as much as I could apply. Poof. And I didn't feel it. I could just feel, oh, it hurts. And then I backed off because, whoa, it really hurt. And then I could start doing it all around. And I changed my finger and worked the tiniest circles you could imagine around this joint. And I must have done it for like 5 minutes. And then I moved away from it and moved up my arm. And there was, when I came back, there was like no discomfort at all, no pain in that joint. And I could close it. Like I could close it like this. Normally it was only to that point. And so then this morning I was doing it again because again, it was stiff when I woke up. So I worked maybe 5 minutes and then I discovered that this joint on the second finger is also bothering me. So I started working on that. And it's just so helpful to know that I can change that because my integrative doctor says I'm looking at arthritis. And I don't know how many of the rest of you have dealt with this, but it's something, you know, for many years now, we've had such success at having people be able to work on their own fingers or hands for pain, or in the case of arthritis, work with these 1 1/4 circles. So I just wanted to share that and start off. And I would like to know if any of you have had experiences this week working on yourselves with T-Touch.
So Victoria has her hand up.
Sorry.
And everyone, it's so exciting to have people here from all over the world. It just makes me so happy. My right knee, I've had two.
Can you hold on just a second? I can't hear you very well. Let me turn this up. And wait a second. If you can say your name again, because we couldn't hear it at all for the recording.
Victoria Ahrensdorf.
Oh, Victoria, hi. Great.
Hi. Great. My right knee, I've had two meniscus surgeries in it, and like in one in the 90s, one in the early 2000s, I think, and maybe 9 years apart. And then about 5 years ago, I had three fractures in the tibial plateau downward, like toward the feet. So that knee has been through some things. My knee started swelling at age 12 from a two-story fall. So there's quite a history there. And but I've been at my knee on the third week of the coronavirus. And so it was Easter Sunday, actually. It sounded like there was an earthquake in my knee, and it felt like an earthquake. I was just sitting on the edge of my bed, and like it was just like rumbling. And it felt like the tibia fell apart. The lower leg fell apart from the upper leg is what it felt like. And then it just ballooned up. So this is how many months later, and it's still a bit swollen, but much, much better. And I've been doing a lot of T-touches around the knee in different places. And, you know, it's really interesting. I always forget my thumb. I forget to anchor my thumb and have that thumb connector. And then I go, oh yeah, my thumb's not involved. So then I involve that and, you know, explore the breathing, the smile, the timing, the pressure. I'm not sure if I'm going to.
Oh, we just lost you. Wait a minute. After finding the pressure, we lost your sound. See if you can come back.
And of course, so gently. And I
hold on, Victoria. Sorry, we lost your sound after the word pressure. Then we couldn't hear you anymore.
How far back was that?
a sentence or two, not much.
Okay, so I'm just so grateful to have this way of working, you know, and maybe I'll try more pressure now. You're talking about more pressure for joints?
Go to the place where it's uncomfortable for 2 or 3 T-touches and then back off. And okay. what I've discovered with that, you want to find where it hurts and then do less. If you just if you just work, you know, and don't go to that place of level of pain, it does not work as fast. It can still be useful, but not nearly as effective in my experience.
Interesting. I think that I'm doing it harder than I realized. And maybe I tried to make myself back off sometimes, but that's really interesting. So I'll give myself permission to use more pressure sometimes and back off.
But let's see if we can really communicate in a way that we know what we're saying. Like when I say use more pressure, what it could be that a two pressure is already painful. So you go to that place of and then back off from there. And what do you understand?
I thought you were talking a 6 or 7 pressure for joints. That typically it's 1, 2, or 3. I just want Nick to understand too, that typically it's a 1, 2, or 3, right? But you're saying for joints, maybe more.
In what I'm finding for around my knee, for instance, because perhaps you remember when we were working with Jewel with her knee. When I hurt my knee, I couldn't, you know, like all around it, it didn't hurt the pressure, but I couldn't move it. I couldn't move without pain. So I just worked all around it until I found an area where it hurt. And on some parts it was like, oh my gosh, I could barely touch it in a couple of places. In other places I could press with a lot of pressure. And then as I worked down away from it, because it's not just the knee, run these lines down from the knee. And I found that right now, actually, when I touch it with a, yikes, this is interesting. I'm with the tip of my finger and two to three pressure. It's like, now it's even less pressure is sensitive. So I'm doing less. Now I'm just going to follow that down, find where it hurts with whatever pressure, do 1 or 2 circles, and then back off. Like what I mean is do less pressure and go down. And what I find is that, after 2 or 3 minutes, I can go back to that area and it doesn't hurt to the pressure that it hurt before. So we just, it's like something is happening with the, I don't know what it is, but I just know that I can disappear the pain. Do you understand what I'm saying?
I think I understand.
So why I said 6 or 7 pressure on my fingers here, like it was totally okay until I went really deep. And then it hurt. Okay, so I said, okay, now I can work with it. And that's when I just did 2 or 3 touches at the most at that deep pressure. And then I worked all around it with whatever was comfortable, maybe a 2 or 3 pressure.
I'm so sorry. Until you said 2 or 3 pressure, I lost everything you said before that.
Don't be sorry. So I said it took, in the beginning, I had to press with a 6 or 7 pressure in order to have any discomfort at all. And then after I did it, just a couple of touches, I found it was really sensitive. It was like shut down. And then I could make a connection and then just go with really light touches around it. So you see, and now on this bone, I can, on the bone right here, I can work with it with a 2 or 3 and it's just fine. And even when I go deeper now, it's okay. So play with the going to that place of discomfort and then going less, stay on the area, but do less pressure.
And when you're working with the fingers, I think I heard you say once that you always start with the clock, like 6 o'clock toward the feet. Right.
Oh, you know, actually, when I'm working with my fingers, I don't even think about it.
Okay.
Let me see what I do. What is it intuitive? Where do I start? I am starting toward the tip as though I was standing, you know, with my feet down, my fingers down. So I am, I'm intuitively doing that.
Interesting.
So I'm just seeing if it makes any difference. Yeah, it does make, for me, it does make a difference. I don't like it when I start toward the hand and come, you know, start at what I would consider 12 o'clock if I were standing.
Yeah, yeah.
And okay.
Thank you.
Yeah, and Nick, sorry, I don't know if Linda clued you in any, what we're talking about is a basic moving the skin in one circle and a quarter, starting with, by actually what's really important is imagining the face of a clock and putting it somewhere on you. Doesn't matter, I'm doing it here because you can see it easily. And the reason I imagine the face of the clock is because that clock has numbers on it. And anything to do with numbers activates our logical part of our brain, and we need that. So I put this imaginary clock here, and I face it so that if you took it off the wall, the six would be toward the ground. And you place it, you have six, and actually I'll do it on the chest because you can see easier. So we place this with a clock on here, six toward the ground, your nine to the right shoulder, 12 toward the chin and left, and your three to your left, to your left shoulder. Now, the reason that's important is you activate both parts of our brain when we imagine that clock, because anything to do with imagining activates the right side of the brain. And the reason that this is useful is that right side gives us feeling and creativity and intuition, which means we can connect to any information in the quantum field just by doing it, and compassion, caring about what happens around the world. And so in this way, we're activating just by each circle and a quarter. We're also, that is that spiral that is in all of nature. And it's called the golden ratio. And by this one and a quarter spiral circle, what we've discovered is that we can release pain in ourselves or our animals in a really remarkable way. And we have like literally thousands of case studies of this happening with people. So I just, Linda, let me ask you from what I said, as we're sitting here, you could be working on your knee a little bit and go to that place where, that hurts. And then just do like little less so you can feel it and just explore. Wait a minute, how can you communicate with that area to release that pain that's there? And see what happens when you bring your second hand into play. If you know, when you just like support your hand in your knee with one hand and then work with the other. It's just kind of, might be interesting.
Are you talking to me, Linda, when you say Linda? Do you mean Victoria?
I'm sorry, Victoria. I meant Victoria. Sorry. Okay. I'm thinking
that's of, really, that's really yeah. Nice to add second hand. I like that, adding the second hand.
Yeah. What, and can you communicate what that feels like, the difference?
Safer is the first word that comes to mind. More stable, more quiet.
Interesting. More,
somehow more contained. Like it's giving me, like if one hand is, if my other hand is underneath my knee.
Yep. Isn't that interesting? I mean, those words, safety, containment, really, and it brings a presence. It's like you're really present there, right?
Yeah.
That's what makes it feel safe.
Nice. And it's also really interesting to go into, like seeing where, going into the pain and then backing away a little bit. It's like I'm getting to know, I'm getting to have more of a conversation with my knee.
Yes. And this is so interesting because yesterday morning we had, it was amazing, Teresa Cotterelli in Switzerland talking about the pain that she's been dealing with all these years, and such a amazing communication and ability to function the way you do with that, Teresa.
Yeah.
Thank you. So as you're feeling and just feeling that, Victoria, if you could just kind of jump in and share if when you get something, that would be great.
Okay, thank you, Linda.
My pleasure. So who else has had an experience? We see we've got a lot more people have joined us now. Hi, Sandy and Gary. Hi from the Northwoods, to the Northwoods. Hi, Pam. Hey, Jewel, you're here. Great. Hi. Alice, I'm going to send you a PDF for your grandson. I'll get it to you later. So, Paula, hi. Hi, Yael, hi. Hi, hi. And Dr. Talia, welcome. Nice to see you. Lisa, you made it. I'm just coming, Heidi. Oh, wow. Just to see how many parts of the world here are represented. Phenomenal. And Kirsten, could you send an email to Yassim and see if she's okay in Turkey? I've just been really worried with the earthquake there.
Okay.
If you could contact her and see how she's doing, that would be really great.
Love so, it.
Who else has an experience from this week?
I just wanted to say thank you.
You're welcome, Alice. You're welcome.
I already sent him mine from my big book, so this one will help me.
Right. Yes. Heimke, I see your hand.
Yeah. I have a chronic disease the last 18 years. It's affecting my lungs and all my joints. But I'm still running and I'm still doing a lot of exercise and doing gardening and always sometimes, and just in autumn, I get a feeling around my low upper chest around here. It's really painful. I think it's just, it feels a little bit sore. And just in winter, because in winter I start breathing more in my tummy because to make the air warmer. And it was somewhere on the weekend, it was really painful around my left breast. So I start doing this T-touch with shoulders with bringing the fingers together. It was really, really painful. So I just was working just with the pressure so I can feel the pain, like you just told us. And the next morning it was gone. It's not back. It's totally pain-free. And it was just really, I think I've done 8-9 circles, not more. That's it. So it was really, really good. And I really use this now a lot for my lungs and for it's really good because it's just looks more pointing. I have a feeling it goes deeper.
Yeah.
Because all my lungs are full of scarves. I have had 6 lung infections in the past. And so it's really has, I really have a feeling it goes just right through the back. And so it's so good.
Thank you. For those of you who weren't on when we were talking about this, we were considering the various ways that you could do the T-touch to do the heart touch. And of course, classically, we're cupping one hand over the other in what we call the abalone touch, and imagining your heart in your hands. So that's one possibility to do this. 1 1/4 circles. Whenever you're like, when you're worried, Nick, if you're, of course you're worried about your dog, and that puts us in a state of disharmony. And when we imagine the face of a clock here, put that clock off the wall and see the numbers on it to get our logic that, wait a minute, we're here. And then you start at 6 o'clock and like just move the skin 6 to 9 or the other way, whichever you automatically go. Try them both ways. I usually prefer clockwise. So you go to 6 to 9, 12, 3, 6, 9. And I'm imagining these numbers. Now, what Heimke was saying, another way you can fold your fingers over like this and put one hand over it and move it, or you can make these tiny movements with your fingers. And one of the things that, because you're like, it would be Heimke, perhaps you're feeling it really deeper, because that's how we do the laser T-touch. So if you just try this, like 1 1/4, deep breath, and then really imagine that going in deep. And Francoise, this would be really interesting, actually, for just to go up and down our ribs and our lungs, anything to do like, and remember we saw, you weren't all here on a Sunday, but was it last Sunday or 2 Sundays ago? I think 2 Sundays ago, we showed the image of the lung, the lungs, and they come way up here. I always think of my ribs. I always like move my ribs like this, but going up on the lungs here, for those of you who have breathing issues. And then 1 1/4 and just imagine, just going cell to cell. Just imagine sending like this light into the cells, just like. And imagine like, if you think about, perhaps you all remember this work of Dr. Fritz Albert Popp, who studied light in cells for, you know, more than 40, 50 years. He's now left the earth, but I tell you, he's still here with us. Every time I just imagine this light in the cells. Heimke, thank you. And you know, Victoria, that might be interesting for you to do around your knee, and imagine as you're just with the tips of the fingers, we call the raccoon touch, T-touch, and just imagine sending light in there and seeing the cells communicate, like just like communicate cell to cell. Just think of this. I just love this description of Dr. Bruce Lipton when he talks about the communication between the cells. That's what our intent is, to activate that communication between the cells.
Thank you, Linda. I love that. I love that, sending the light in. And Sunday night, I another weekly experience or experience from this week with a T-touch is that my 4 siblings and I were talking about our mom, who is now the rehab center is even more shut down, and she's at such a stage she can hardly know who we are on the telephone. So even the short visits have been canceled, and you know, it's devastating. And so I'm just like riding those waves and crying when it feels painful. And or when I get in touch with that deep pain, I feel like I can't get in touch with it because it's so deep. I can't do that all the time. And first of all, bringing light in, I'm practicing just imagining light in my cells more of the time and being light for others and feeling light. That's like become a meditation in our meditation, a satsang on Saturday morning, a Swami shared that one of our teacher's teacher, Baba Muktananda from India, he said to a mantra that I've never heard anybody say before, I am light, I am light. So I'm also working with that. And then Sunday night when I was on with my siblings, I got so much chest pain in the upper left area. And I was like, heart hug. It was like emergency. like a siren, you know. And I mean, not heart hug, but just, you know, tea touch. And I think I did some heart hugs too. And I had to like keep on doing it. I probably did it for 10 minutes and it really helped decrease. And I knew the pain was emotional, right? So it really helped to decrease the pain. Thank you so much. It was intense. It was a strong sensation.
Yeah. And are you having all of your siblings like, imagine that they're there with your mother and being able that you're able to tea touch her there?
No, I'm not sure if I can. I'll try to communicate that with them.
Well, you might just teach them the heart hugs.
I'm planning to call her minister today and the rehab center and the hospice social worker and seeing if I can teach them the heart hug to teach my mom too.
That would be great. Yes. Nice. Thank you.
Thank you.
Who's got some light to share, some tea touches to share? Talia. Yes, Dr. Talia. Shafir. Yes, hi. We haven't seen you for a while.
I know. Working hard. So, yeah, I've been actually using that heart hug on a couple of people who've had emergencies, you know. I mean, it's been a week of emergencies. One person found out they had cancer and boom, they were off to the hospital. And another one, her partner that she thought was her life partner, told her to leave and get out and move back. I mean, it was like, I was afraid to look at the phone, you know, but so, and they were all in situations where they were really in fight and flight, you know? So they couldn't really do much of anything. And I, you know, that one didn't want to make noise because the other guy was there and the other one is in such pain. And so I just had them do the heart hug, just that. And just, I used it to bring them back into communication with me.
Yeah.
It has a ventral vagal effect, right? You're dealing with the heart rhythm. And so it was a very, you know, I could stay soft and focused with my voice. And they could stay, they could actually get engaged and curious. And I did it with them. So, you know, it's a little funny with Zoom. You have to be a little, you know, things are different, you know? So she said profoundly. So, you know, but that having that piece, you know, to come back to, and when they just kept coming back and then at the, you know, I'd see them kind of doing this themselves. So it was very, very helpful. Found it extremely helpful.
Beautiful, thank you so much. And can you just come on and tell us about your dog and tell us what's going on?
Yeah, he had bloat, and we had to get him to. I'm in Philadelphia, so we have the University of Pennsylvania Veterinary Hospital for emergencies, and we rushed him over there and then they x-rayed him and they said, yeah, he has twisted stomach. Can we need to do the surgery right away? And he's an older dog. He's 12. He's going to be 13 in another week. And So when they, after the surgery, every, you know, they have the dark side of what, when they go in, what they look for, you know, diseased areas, but everything was healthy. And they said the operation went well. He looks like he's going to be good, you know? So we were hopeful, but he's been home a week and we've gone, it's been a very hard week caring for him and nursing him and everything. His whole digestive tract wasn't working. He wouldn't eat. He would only drink. And he had awful diarrhea and everything was just leaving him and he was getting weaker. Wow. And I thought I was going to have to put him down. And I got him to our local vet. They were able to work him in and got IV drips. So he had 2 days of IV drip and this one wonderful vet who really worked with me because the meds were all off. And I was using just traditional stuff. And I think we got that imbalance. We got the diarrhea and one of the meds helped with his depression because he was just, he emotionally, he was just not there. He wasn't present. He was angry and it was hard to reach him. And it was very emotional. It's very painful. And want him to have the quality of life. And if this is the time that I should let him go. And I almost thought we were there, but this one vet really thought he was pretty good. And he's doing better now. He's eating. He actually had his first bowel movement today. So I'm a little more hopeful, but we have a checkup shortly. So I'm not sure what the will happen, but I would like to see him get back and maybe have a quality of life for some more time with us. But and I have been talking to Victoria and working with him a little bit with touch. I'm also a massage therapist. So everything that you were saying about the circles, I do something like that in another, not quite exactly, but a lot of the things resonated with me with what you said about how you work with the golden ratio. I'm really familiar with all that. And I do some other kinds of meditative work with the clock. So that felt very natural. I get it. I like that movement, the spiral. So I'm definitely going to have to see how to incorporate that to touch him. He does have a large incision running up his belly.
Let me show you a couple of things that you can do. Okay. I have to get a stuffed dog. And a wrap. I'll be right there. Just a second.
Nick, when she says wrap, she means a long piece of cloth, but maybe Kirsten or Marianne or any of you all can say more about it while Linda's gone.
I would like to see what she suggests, and then I can also get some handouts and send it. So Nick, if you can send me your email address, you can put it in the chat, and I can see what I can find too, what Linda suggests in the office too, or whatever.
Send it to you, is that where I send it?
Yeah, you can just put it into the chat and then I will send you the information, whatever Linda suggests.
Okay.
So one of the things that when there's pain, as you well know, it's like we don't feel our bodies. And to bring what's your dog's name?
Rafe.
To bring him into the body in a safe way, there are two things that we do. First of all, the ear tea touch is something that for all of you, if you have dogs or cats or humans who have any issues, like when right around the base of the ear is the triple heater meridian. And I put my thumb on that and I just do some circles with the side of my thumb because the triple heater meridian runs down the ear down the neck, across to the front paws. And it affects the digestive system and the respiratory system. And so I start with that, and then I just do a slide up. Is your dog up? Does he have upright ears? Or
yeah, he's a German Shepherd.
Oh, he's a Shepherd. Yeah. So go, follow them upward, and you do this circle at the base and a little slide, and I fold my fingers on the inside so it's not stuck down in there, but it's on the inside of the ear, and then you do a slide up like this, and I get every part of the ear, because you probably know that in the ear are connections to every single part of the body.
Yes, and I understand that.
We have hundreds of cases of animals and people who were in deep trouble, and you can bring them back with the ear T-touch. You can keep them out of shock, bring them out of shock.
Yeah.
And actually, it's the safest way to start a heart. Now, what I would also do is going down the back with the thumb on one side, and I just do these little 1 1/4 circles with a little pause and the little hold and the breath, like. And what I'm doing with each pause is just like activating the cranial sacral fluid. And what we've discovered from studies that we've done is that pause and breath at the end, that brings the animal to the still point, the cranial sacral still point. And that is the state of ideal recovery.
Hmm.
It's just these pauses. Now I can do it down this one side, then I can come down on the other side. Like I hold the, now I first I kept my thumb still and I moved the fingers. Now I could come and go down with the thumb this way. You know, and it's amazing just this work down the spine. And on the German Shepherd, I would go all the way down to that beautiful tail. And if he's lying down, I wish I had a dog with a tail, because with it, and you do slides on the tail hair all the way to the end. And I have to tell you a story. I think I've told you all this in this class, maybe not. I was asked to work on a 9-month-old snow leopard at the Zurich Zoo many years ago, and by the head vet, who's been a friend of mine since he graduated from vet school. And this is like 15 years ago. Least ago. And this snow leopard and the other sibling both had a very high fever, and they had treated them, of course, with all the stuff that they had, and they thought they were losing them. And hold on one second, just a moment. Oh dear, I thought I muted. Anyway, so I was asked if I would do T-touch on this snow leopard. So they gave me 5 minutes to theoretically pick this one up, put him in my lap, and I was this way, actually. I remember very well. Out of the nose came these, every breath was bubbling blood. And I just started right here, and just with the tips of my fingers, and each part of our fingers, we've given a different animal name. So this is with the raccoon touch, with the very tips. I just did this, hold on one side with the thumb, circle with the other. And I completely emptied my head. I just got out of the way and simply did this, and it took me 25 minutes. I was supposed to have 5 minutes, right? But Dr. Isenbugel and the keeper were just, they were mesmerized. Nobody was moving. And I wasn't saying anything, just, and it took me 25 minutes to go. And then the tail was really long on a snow leopard, all the way to the end of the tail. And as I was doing this, and you can be thinking of this, like for those of you who have friends, parents, siblings in somewhere where you can't get to them and they have a problem, do the T-touch on yourself. and imagine it's on them. So as I was doing T-touch on this one snow leopard, I was, the sibling was like maybe 15 feet away and could was watching us. And I was just imagining that she could feel this as I did it. And when they put that snow leopard back and they took the temperature, they were normal. Both went from a very high fever. And that night I was giving a presentation to the Zurich Vet School, and Dr. Eisenbugel told the students about this. And it's in the foreword to one of my books that he wrote the foreword to, this incident. And expect miracles. I mean, mm-hmm. This is what we're finding. Expect miracles. And Nick, this I had the great privilege of working with Dr. Fritz Albert Popp. If you Google him, it will be interesting for you. Because he studied light in the cells, first of plants for many years, and then in people. And I had the pleasure of working with him twice. And when I did like three T-touches like this on his shoulder, just to show him what I was doing, and I told him that I had been working on a horse who'd been injured, and I had the strangest feeling that there was less light in the cells of this injured area where it didn't want to be touched. And Dr. Popp said, the light in the cells represents the communication between the cells. And my premise of this work is so supported by Dr. Bruce Lipton in his book, Spontaneous Evolution. He talks about the connection, the communication between the cells and our whole body, like 100 trillion cells that communicate. And for all of us sitting here, what we've discovered now, we can, you know, on whether it's on an animal or a person or ourselves, we can help to regulate that light in the cells so that we can activate this communication. It's a miracle that we are. These bodies are walking miracles. We just don't realize it. That's and when great. We do, something else happens in our ability to function. So that's just great. I would say with him, you know, just and the pressure, it's not like massage. So right. We have a pressure 1 to 10. And to get the 1 pressure, you can just support your elbow, put a thumb, and just everybody just remind yourselves of this. I stabilize my hand on my cheek with my thumb, and I move the skin on my eyelid in a circle and a quarter with the lightest connection I can do that doesn't slide over it. And that is a 1 pressure. And it's just until so then I go to my mid arm between the elbow and the wrist. And I always do this in a logical way. So it's repetitive, you know, so I put the thumb under and now I'll curve the fingers and with the lightest possible movement. Just remember when you're teaching this to someone else, all of you, the lightest possible movement that you can move that skin without sliding over it, because it doesn't work if you slide over it. That's our 1 pressure. And now to get the 3 pressure, I go back to the cheek, I find my cheekbone and I feel it underneath. I run this back and forth over, feel this. And now I use my forefinger and several, I just let the other fingers go with it, but with the longest finger, the forefinger, I really feel, get acquainted, say hello to this bone. This cheekbone, so I can feel it all the way around. And with the contact it takes to clearly feel it and be comfortable, that's our 3 pressure. So I go back in, if you, the lightest possible is the 1 now, curve my fingers. It's really important to have the fingers curve for this to get the 3. And that's my 3 pressure. Now on your dog, I would be using a 2. To go to a 6, we have to tip the fingers, go really in deep. And I've only used a 10 on maybe 3 people ever. On an animal, you You don't. Even on an elephant, I worked on elephants and they're extremely sensitive. We're talking like a 1 or 2 pressure.
Wow.
On a horse and a deep part of the neck, you might be, in some places on the neck, if depending upon how they're comfortable with it, you might go deep. You might go a 5 or 6 if they like it only. So we're talking to.
Okay.
Just that was very- connect, you know, with that golden ratio, that spiral that's in all of nature. And what we're doing is simply connecting with the cellular intelligence that runs every cell in the body. When we recognize that, that's a miracle. That's a connection with the entire universe. What? Gotta be. Interesting.
Great.
What else could possibly run this?
Well, it's very helpful. Thank you so much.
Our pleasure. This is something we've got a lot of people here. We've been sharing this stuff now since May in this way with this group. So blessings, and let us know, please. Let us know how it goes.
I will. Thank you.
And one of the things, Nick, that I find the most important or very important is just smile when you're doing this, because that activates your serotonin. And, you know, our tendency whenever we work or do something is to concentrate and hold our breath. So it's like breathe, paying attention to the breath and just seeing, just imagining that light in the cells that's at the center of every cell in the body, just activating that communication between the cells, activating. Yeah, really pour that into that.
Great. Yeah.
Now, Linda, did you take a moment to talk about, you know, when he started the question, it was around the surgical site, you know, that his dog had surgery. And again, we're not veterinarians, we're not physicians, you know, we don't diagnose, prescribe, or treat. But do you want to talk a little how you would work around someone that's got an active, you know, that's had surgical site? Do you want to say anything
about that? Well, I'm not sure that I would do that.
That's why I wanted you to say that.
What?
That's what I wanted you to say. Yeah. Is because right. People you. Have a tendency to go there.
Well, that's why I'd work on the spine and the ears and the tail. And you can go down the legs, you know, with this. And this is interesting, Nick, on the legs. It's you just hold with the thumb on one side, circle and a quarter, and do a little lift up. We call it a Python lift. You can get my video actually, and you'll see this Python lift. And it's really, it just grounds them and brings them into the body. And I would stay away from this area. Now, that's why I work along the spine and I work the ears. And just this, feel your beauty. It's like the wow factor. This dog is a miracle. Hold that with every key touch.
Yeah, I'm pretty tactile with him, and he looks for it. And I work his ears a lot, but I'll definitely try this other touch with that.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And we do the ears like we treat the ears like it's a rose petal. In other words, gently. It doesn't take much, you know, to connect with that whole. And this is something I'll just remind all of you, and I'd like to know if anybody has a story. If an animal or like, if this ever happens again with him, if you work his ears on the way to the vet, you can keep him out of shock, so he's in much better shape for the surgery. And in case it ever happens again, you can do belly lifts on him that will prevent the twisting of the gut.
Yeah. Well, they said that the way the surgery went, the stomach is attached now to the side of his body, so it will never happen again. At least that's what they said.
That's good.
Okay.
Good.
Okay, thank you.
Good luck.
Thank you.
Linda, one other follow-up question on that. You mentioned as you walked away wraps, and people are asking, How would you do the wrap work, or is there anything special that
The thing is, I was going to go and get a wrap, but then I thought, when the surgery is so new, I wouldn't do the wrap. You know, it's perfect. I'd rather stay away from that point. But with the wraps, and I'll let's take our 10-minute break, and I'll get a wrap and I'll show you what you can do with yourself, by the way. If you ever have colic, and with your dogs or horses. So it is now 9:55 in Hawaii. So at 5 after the hour, we'll come back.